WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to May 15th and 16th, the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When a season opens, indeed calls for a new year celebration. Seabass season opens today. We got 10 fish at 12.5 inches. Clam, fish bite clam chunks, squid, salted clam even, and the good old Ava jigs, man. Boom, 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 boom. Plenty of sea bass out there. How many, Tom P? I say they're eating the paint off the bottom of the boats. Just a reminder, next Sunday is the Governor's Surf Tournament there at Island Beach State Park. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. There's a press release on it. It's too late to pre-register. You can register there and get all your permits, blah, 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 blah. And the good news is that Fluke, the season which opens next Saturday, the 22nd, is an eligible species for the Governor's Surf Tournament on May 23rd. The Striped Bass Bonus Program kicks in today. It's going to run through October to 24 to less than 28. That's your slot fish. Now, you don't have to catch the 28 to less than 38 first. You can catch, if you have the tag, you can catch that slot fish first. And, man, there are more bass out there than hair on my head. It is absolutely fantastic fishing going on. ICW in the bays and off the beach. Off the beaches, man, some big-ass bass. I mean, big. Big 38, 40, 42, some monsters out there. Hopefully we'll get some reports in the last segment if we have time. Okay, coming up, Pete Clark, Senior Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also the Artificial Reef Coordinator. Pete was on last week with the prospectus for the sea bass season and also two hot reefs, the Cape May and the AC Reef. Pete's back with a Fluke season prospectus and two of his fave reefs. When he does get down this way, one of them's down this way. When he does get down this way, for the fly, just grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Do you suffer?
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Blog this week, man. Look and don't touch. Leave them alone. Little fawn, man. This thing wasn't the size of a miniature poodle. Screaming its full head off. Where was mom? As black as my heart is, and as tight as those not even strings wires are, I wanted to pick him up and take him home. I was thinking of Jody Baxter in the Yearling. No, leave him be. I was wondering, though, the guy I was fishing with, Scott Newhall, said, hey, man, you think that was the mom up on the road there? The only identifier that it was a doe was the head that was straddling a double yellow line. This thing was squished, smashed, otherwise just flattened for about 20 yards or so. But I digress. Again, a happy new year to all. Sea bass season opens today, the 15th. Now, last week we had on Captain Peter Clark with the Sea Bass Prospectus, and we covered two hot sea bass reefs. Okay, the AC Reef and the Cape May Reef. Captain Pete has agreed to join us again for a Fluke season prospectus and two of his favorite Fluke reefs. A rare back-to-back. Back-to-back, like those Cowboys that won the back-to-back Super Bowls. Hey, Eagle fans, what's up? What's up with that? Captain Peter Clark, thank you, dude. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Tom P. How are you?
Oh, man, listen, we have Senior Fisheries Biologist Peter Clark, and he is also the Artificial Reef Coordinator, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries. This man knows the structures. He knows everything, anything about the reefs, planning of more reefs in the future. But above all, Pete is a hardcore angler. He's going to give us a little perspective, his idea on what the Fluke season looks like. Now, it's going to run from next Saturday until, September 21st or so, somewhere in there. We got 120 days, Pete. How's it looking for the flat tees, my brother?
I think it's looking pretty good for this year. You know, we had a pretty good year last year, and I don't expect it to be a whole lot different. I think we're going to have a good showing of the old flatties, the doormats, if you will. So, yeah, I'm excited, you know.
Hey, Clark, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be shy. Listen, he doesn't deal with doormats. He's an area rug kind of fluker, man.
Right.
Well, Pete,
give me the Orientals, right?
You hear it, Pete?
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
You know, Fluker, we're pretty lucky, Tom. Fluke have a cool life history, right? So, as you know, they're both inshore and offshore. They go from Nova Scotia to Florida, but they're most abundant in the Mid-Atlantic, from Cape Cod to North Carolina, and we are right dead center in the middle of that range. We've got some of the best populations of fluke on the coast, and you know, our anglers benefit from that, to be quite honest with you. We have some good accessibility to some of those big fish.
Pete, it is the lifeblood of the Jersey Shore fishing tackle marina economy. It is the flatfish, man.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You know, so it is one of the most important species on the coast of the U.S. That and sea bass. We talked about sea bass last week. I mean, you're talking about two species of fish that really are the lifeblood of our industry. You know, they're amazing. They're great to catch. They're great to fish for. They're, of course, awesome to eat. Little stuffed fluke, man.
Woo! Well, Pete, listen, now, again, as per the COVID thing and you know, whatever happened, it's status quo this year, same as last year, correct? Except the dates?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think we're kind of lucky, right? So the most recent stock assessment took place in 2018. The good news that it's showing that fluke aren't overfished, overfishing is not occurring. However, our spawning stock biomass, that is the larger fish that, you know, have offspring every year, unfortunately, is only 78% of our target of 120 million pounds of fish. Recruitment's right around our target. Data indicates that there's an increase in abundance of those older fish, which is a really good thing, right? We need the older big fish to spawn, you know, little fish, the larvae. Unfortunately, though, there's a declining stock trend overall, particularly with those younger fish. And there's increased mortality levels over the time series of both from natural causes, you know, and from fishing.
Right.
The next assessment, okay, is scheduled for this year, later this year. And, you know, hopefully things are going to look better for our stock.
Okay, Pete, does that translate to maybe a liberalization or a redoing of the three fish at 18-inch? Pete, I hear it all over the place. These 18-inch, 18-plus-inch, 18, 19-inch, these are breeding females, prime breeding females, and we're killing them. And you know, so how do you guys handle that, man? That's an ongoing criticism.
Right, and that's a really good point and good question. So, you know, years ago we believed that it was almost 90%, 80% of those 18-inch fish and larger were females. Recent data is pointing towards, you know, that not necessarily being the case. It's more like 50-50 right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
So, you know, one of the reactions to the population within the population of this, you know, this sort of stress that we are seeing, if you will, is that fish are maturing a little bit, you know, they're a little bit smaller when they mature. Like, so typically we're looking at fish spawning or maturing at 2 to 3 years old and at 10 inches. And I think, you know, what we're actually getting to see now is that, you know, they might be spawning a little bit smaller than that, you know, maturing a little bit younger than that. So, we're going to have to wait and see. That's all I can say. However, like I said, you know, right now we're at status quo. Okay. We're looking at, and that's a good thing.
We'll take it.
We've been at status quo. Yeah, we'll take it. Yep. Exactly. But we've been at status quo since 2019. So now we're going to have 3 years of status quo measures on the books. Why is that good, Tom P., you ask? Or I'm sure you're thinking in your head.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's good because now we can see what the population is doing without management. And that's in air quotes. You can't see me doing my air quotes, but without management effects, right? So in other words, when we change our management measures, every year. So now it's three fish, now it's four fish. Now it's two fish, and we're at 18 and 17. And
17 and a half, right, I remember. Yep.
Right. So, I mean, when we do that, we can't get as accurate of a view of what's going on. That's what that means. So status quo is good. We're still got 121-day season going on, and you know, things are looking pretty good, I think.
Yeah, we're speaking with Peter Clark. He is a senior fisheries biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries. He's also the New Jersey artificial reef coordinator. And New Jersey, I will say, and Pete will agree, has the greatest artificial reef system in the universe. How's that, Petey? In the universe. I got it down, Pat. In the universe, my brother.
We've been practicing that.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this question, and I speak to some of the captains in, you know, Cape May all the way up to the Absecon area, all up to like Barnegat. Like, it seems the opinion is the bigger fish, bigger fluke, seem to be moving northward, more of them. And I get up to the Raritan Bay, I get up to that fish, and it just, and all the way up to Long Island. I mean, you talk again, doormats, area rugs, almost don't even raise an eyebrow now. And we don't seem to have those big numbers of big fish as recently as, what, 7-8 years ago. What's your take on that? Is that a legit argument?
I think there is some legitimacy to that, Tom. You know, so we've been experiencing what you call a core shift, right? So there's evidence to indicate that the core of the fluke population, 10, 15 years ago was off of, let's say, south of Hudson Canyon. The new evidence is suggesting that it's shifted, you know, somewhat, very subtly, but it's still a shift nonetheless towards the north. And the popular opinion and belief is that along with that core shift in the population, you're seeing this translate into, of course, larger fish, right? So you always hear about these guys in New England and Cape Cod catching these, you know, pretty regularly, the area size rugs out on the fluke grounds. But Right. Hey, look, for all your inshore flounder pounders out there, you can't beat what goes on in New Jersey and in our estuaries, in Barnegat Bay and down south in Egg Harbor and all those, you know, estuaries down south in Cape May. I mean, we have some fantastic, fantastic fluke fishing in New Jersey. We're known for it. No, unfortunately, you got to start, you know, maybe you have to weed through some of those smaller fish, but eventually we're going to hit those 18s.
Well, Pete, let's talk mortality. I mean, the Division of Fish and Wildlife, the Bureau of Marine Fisheries, guys, what was it, a couple of years ago in concert with Eagle Claw, you know, Wright and McGill sent out these, 7-0 hooks, 6-0 hooks to cut down on mortality. How is there a, I can't say exact, there's no such thing as that in this realm, but what is the figure, general figure accepted as angler mortality when it comes to the fluke?
Yeah, so right now we're accepting a 10% mortality rate, which means so out of every 10 fish you catch, one of them is going to, out of 10 fish, I should say, that you return to the water, one of them is going to have mortality. You know, that's a hard number to come by. That's what we're, and of course, you know, that's what we're using right now in our stock assessments. And those things will be revisited as we update our stock assessment, when we run a new peer review stock assessment this year. One of the things that I can say, Tom, is, you know, everybody likes to use J hooks, especially when we're fishing for fluke and we're using these gulps.
Right.
You know, if we can start migrating to larger size hooks, circle hooks, things like that, then of course we can start, you know, if you're drifting and just dragging baits around, think about using the circle
just
hook.
Just a dead stick. You're right, Pete. That is, I know guys that did it very consistently last year and scored some big numbers and some nice keepers, a good percentage of keepers.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So it's a very effective way to catch some of those larger fish, larger bait, larger hook. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. Use a larger hook with sea bass, you're going to catch larger fish, right? Because it just naturally calls out some of the smaller ones. And that's a really good point, Tom. Glad you brought that up. If we're using larger hooks and larger baits, you may not get as many bites. You may not be quite as active on those 16, 17-inch fish.
Right.
But chances are some of the hookups that you do have are going to be potentially those keepers, you know, 18 inches, 19, 20-inch fish.
Now, Pete, you know my proclivities. I like the light and the ultralight tackle. However, that's, you know, that's especially when you get in the summer. You know, at the bay using 4-pound, 6-pound, 5.5, 6-foot, basically – trout and, you know, perch rods and enjoying the fight of the fluke, whatever. But I mean, that, do they recover from that kind of, I'm guilty of this and I stopped doing it some years ago, but Pete, that's, that has to put a physical strain on, especially in the summer when the water is warm.
Yeah. Well, so exactly, you know, when the water is cooler, there's a less propensity to have death to your fish, right? Cooler, they're in shallower water. So spring fishery in the bays, is less dramatic or traumatic to them than we get into the heat of the summer and we're throwing a lot of fish back from deep depths. And so, I mean, that's a good point. Anything that we can do, Tom, in the end, anything that we can do, the way that we handle fish, you know, we bring them up and just, you know, try not to grab them and manhandle these things. Just try to get them off your hook as quickly as possible for a clean release. Those are the types of activities and behavior that we're really trying to promote.
So, Pete, before we get to our next segment, on the overall, listeners can expect a basically good, solid fluke season, 3-18, and let it rip, man.
That's it. Let it rip. May 22 to September 19th. Get all those back bay guys going early. And, you know, hopefully we don't have too many storms that are coming through late in the season. And we can get some of those big ones up north before it's all over.
Okay, people, grab that cup. Grab that webinar. We will be back with Pete Clark, senior fisheries biologist in New Jersey's artificial reef coordinator. Best reef, artificial reef system in the universe. And we're going to key on two reefs that are specialized for fluke. These things are fluke factories. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
On some models, excludes Corvette with GM financing. Excludes prior sales. See dealer for details.
Many car dealers all around the area are having trouble getting inventory, so they're jacking up prices big time. But at Bennett Chevy, we haven't changed a thing. Why would we? You said you love our GM supplier employee pricing. You pay what our supplier employees pay.
Not a penny more.
Bennett also gives you all the rebates, which can add up to a whopping 25% off MSRP.
Plus, Bennett's got available 0% financing that'll save you thousands more.
Looking for used? Good news. Bennett's still paying a minimum $7,000 for any trade you bring us, regardless of condition or miles. Any old Heath is worth a minimum $7,000 towards any pre-owned in stock. And our non-commissioned sales staff is paid on your satisfaction, not how much you spend, so there's no pressure ever. And Bennett Chevy is now an authorized lease return center for all brands. So now more than ever, there's just no beating Bennett. Find new roads at Bennett Chevrolet, Egg Harbor Township, and BennettChevy.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below again. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 15th and 16th. Okay, before we get to two of the hot reefs, as per Pete Clark, senior fisheries biologist and artificial reef coordinator, Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Just a little addendum here. Island Beach State Park, again, it's going to be two fish at 16 inches. Delaware Bay, limit is three fish at 17 inches. I know we're getting porked. I said it, porked, because Delaware has, what, a 16-inch size limit. That just... I don't get that. Sorry, Pete. I had to let that out. I had to emote that. But Pete, we have two reefs that you wanted to key on as being excellent for fluke. One north, actually, north central, and one south. The Axel Carlson Reef, listeners, and the Townsend's Inlet Reef, basically right down the road. Petey, Axel Carlson, let's rock. Go ahead. Talk about it. At four square miles, it's the same size as the AC Reef, correct?
Right. So it's one of our bigger reefs. It's close to the beach. It's 2.1 nautical miles off the beach. One of the best characteristics of this reef is the depth range. So we go from 66 to 80 feet. It's got some of the most fantastic material on any reefs in the system. One of those reasons is that it's one of the oldest reefs. So way back in the day, way back before 1987, when the state of New Jersey took over the artificial reef program, fishing clubs, local fishing clubs out of Point Pleasant were bringing material out to Axel Carlson and Seagirt, and they were developing this reef as a system, as a unit before we even got involved and before anybody thought about doing that stuff.
Wow.
On a state level. So, I mean, how about this? Are you ready? Over 500 deployments have been made on the Axel Carlson Reef alone. Perspective. 4,400 total on 17 reefs we've done on 17 reefs that we manage, right? Because, of course, we manage all 17 off the coast of New Jersey. 500 have been done on Axel Carlson Reef. It's got, but with that, I'll also say that we haven't done one there since about 2012, which means that they're due. You know, if we can find some room, Axel, Carlson Reef is due. One of the reasons that I like talking about this reef is, A, it's got a lot of different material. It's got tanks. It's got ships. It's got concrete. It's got rock. And there are some locations on Axel Carlson. I don't want to give them away because I'll get towed behind the cars in town. But you know, you find some of those rock piles and fish the outskirts of them for fluke, jig around them, or you know, pull some squid and killie right through them, and you're going to find some fluke. They're absolutely fantastic spots.
Fluke love the rocks. Listen, Pete, we're over. You're talking just a little back research that. Approximate over 1 million cubic yards of dredge rock material alone, correct?
That's
amazing. And you got, again, you mentioned boats, you got tanker barges, deck barges, commercial fishing boats, reef balls. I mean, that this place, listeners, is a big fluke factory. Again, Pete, big fluke factory, a lot of fish, a lot of boats. You pick your times there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, you know, I misspoke when I said 2012. We did, we actually just put two in 2016. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just remembered that in 2016, we just put two of our newest items, the 53-foot crew boat to the Jack Murray Memorial Reef called the New York Harbor Charlie, and the John Grady III Shady Reef, we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old ex-fishing vessel called the Austin. So, yeah, that was in 2016. Just incredible spots to fish. Absolutely.
And Pete, the fluke keep returning there, and the sea bass as well, people, and the tog as well. I mean, year after year, season after season. But Pete, I swear it's this rock, there's rock formations down there and layouts, you know, the concrete castings, et cetera, that to me, this has to be one of the best, if not the best reef in the system for the flatties, big ones.
Yeah, Northside has some good rock piles, you know. I don't want to tell you exactly where all of them are, but I guarantee you, you start driving over, again, the north side, maybe the south side a little bit, you're going to find some good rock piles. Drift the outskirts of them, people. And, you know, just start looking for those holes. Once you find them, once you find that little nest, short drift them. They're there, and it is a fluke factory, as you say.
It is nothing short of phenomenal, Pete. When I was doing the central reports for the fishermen, I'm doing their offshore. I just had Axel Carlson plugged into the computer and hit it from all the tackles out. It was Axel Carlson was always first. And Pete, it seems like I say you pick your times, people. But even with the crowds, Pete, even with the crowds, we could almost walk on the boats. Lots of keepers and lots of close to keepers, and some. I mean, fish 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10-pound and up to the 12-pounds. It seemed every week you had numbers like that coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. There's just no other way to describe it.
Pete, the main forage there. I mean, you have the fluke love crabs, I know that, but you have everything. You have bunker in there. You got sand eels. I mean, that's a rich in forage for the flatties.
Right. So, you know, fluke consists, their diet is primarily made up of smaller fish, things like silver sides and killies and, you know, also squid, and you've got different crustaceans, crabs, just, you know, they're ambush predators. They spend most of their time in the sand. That area's got plenty of sand surrounding sand mountains, sand hills, sand valleys. And then you've got the reef right next to all that stuff. And it's just a perfect location for them to lay in wait, as we say.
Pete, that's one of the things that's so vexing about the flatties. You know, around the structure, and you're losing, you know, jig head, you're losing bug, you're losing rigs, whatever. And then over flat sand bottom, bada bing, bada boom, you're getting fish and just sand. I mean, what is it? Their mood, or what is it?
The thing is, you know, you don't drift right over the structure, right? You want to be right off on the edge of it. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for drifts right on the edge of, you know, metal stuff that's low-lying. Low-lying metal is fantastic. Rocks, that concrete stuff can be great. But again, there's so much rock up there on Axel that's one of the reasons that place is so productive.
This is Axel Carlson Reef. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. Go to Saltwater Fishing. Go to the Artificial Reef Program. They have the map, the numbers, everything there. Okay, Pete, let's come down our way here. the Townsend's Inlet Reef. Cape May Reef gets a lot of play. Ocean City Reef gets a lot of play. Wildwood Reef gets a lot of play. Shout out to Captain Al Cordelli on a Bayhound. Al! Sorry, man. The Townsend's Inlet Reef for flounder. Pete, it's like the best secret out there.
Yeah, well, not anymore, right? Not after tonight. But listen, here's one of the things, right? So Townsend's Inlet is actually one of our newer reefs. We started that reef not too long ago, right. I believe back in, I'll start with it's got 60 deployments on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we just talked about Axel Carlson. Axel Carlson had, over 500 deployments
right.
on it. We started Townsend's like around 2005-ish, want to say, mm-hmm. if memory serves me well. The thing about Townsend's is it's a dynamic area to begin with, right? So we've got a somewhat smaller reef, albeit, but it's about a half a mile square area. Mm-hmm. Now, you hear me talk about these variations in depth, right? So Townsend's Inlet goes from 45 feet in its shallowest location up to 70 feet. So you've mm-hmm. got quite a difference, 25 feet in variation in depth, and that's good. And we're talking about a reef area, again, that's only 0.5 square miles in area. So that depth change is very abrupt, okay? That's a good thing. Number two, there's been a lot of activity as far as reef building and reef maintenance and construction down on Townsend's Inlet Reef as of lately. And what I mean by that, you want to ask? I know it's coming.
It's coming.
So Strathmere Fishing and Environmental Club has been putting a lot of effort into that reef.
Beautiful. Right?
They've sunk pieces of barges, full barges. They did the Townsend's Inlet Bridge, concrete. All the concrete from that bridge went out there. But back in 2017, we put out 35 3,000-ton loads of, just like we talked in Axel, dredge
rock.
Dredge rock is an incredible habitat type for not only sea bass, but we're talking about fluke today, right?
And the forage, it attracts the forage as well. I mean, shoot, it's fluke fantasia.
Well, that's just it, right? So we're talking about all this, prey items coming in. We've got your sand eels are in there, your crabs are in there, all your prey fish are just milling around this place. And in addition to the dredge rock, you've got some rather large metal vessels, ex-commercial fishing vessels that we've sunk, and barges, and just a whole host of really great things to drift fish and to jig around. It's another great reef.
And Pete, it just flies under the radar. Those in the know, like Captain Al Cordelli and the Bayham, the Strathmere Fishing Club, all these. They know the potential of it, and they just go there, catch their fish, and they pretty much keep it quiet. But again, Pete, you have a 77-foot commercial boat there. You got another two 77-foot commercial boats in. I'm just checking out, and you have, concrete castings, the reef balls, the Donna Star. I remember that. That's an 82-foot commercial fishing boat. So you got varied cover there. You mentioned that dredge rock. It is a fluke Valhalla, brother.
That's it, Baja. And, one of the things, again, I've mentioned this in the past to you, but we're putting out a new reef guide. And in that reef guide, we're going to have hundreds of previously unpublished coordinates for deployments that we've done over. We haven't done a reef guide since 2007. So we got some catching up to do, right?
Pete, that's a Herculean task. I mean, when will this be released? When will it be available?
Well, yeah, we've been working on it for about 6 months, and we're probably about a month or so away, I would say. So sometime during the, June-ish, I will go out on a limb and say sometime in June. We're close. That's all I can say is we're close. It looks amazing. Our GIS department here at the Division of Fish and Wildlife is doing an incredible job at getting this thing put together for us.
Okay, Pete Clark. I got to ask you one last question.
Okay, here we go.
Opening day. Actually, it's a two-part question. Will you be out, and where are you going?
Well, so you know I live in Monmouth County, so I will probably hold off for a little bit. I'll probably start looking for flukes sometime. You know what? I told a small white lie. I'm going to be in the Shark River. I'm going to be in the Manasquan River. I'm going to be looking all over our rivers for him. The guys down in South Jersey, we know, Barnegat Bay. We're going to all the bays, all those shallow water spots. But I'll tell you what, man, as soon as that water warms up and those fish start exiting, right, because that's what makes them go. Yep, when the water gets warm, they're going to exit all those inlets and rivers, and they're going to be going to these reefs.
They'll be on the reef much sooner than later. Hey, Pete Clark,
absolutely,
senior fisheries biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries. He's also the Bureau of Marine Fisheries artificial reef coordinator, best artificial reef system, not only on the planet, in the universe. Pete, thanks for all the great work you're doing. Thanks for coming on Rack and Fin Radio and give us a lowdown last week on the sea bass, this week on the fluke, man. You're getting it done, brother.
No, we're trying. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having us as usual.
Take care. Have a great weekend, Pete, and have a great opening day. We'll see you.
I'm looking forward to it. Take care.
That's it. Pete Clark, man, the man gets it done. Hey, we're up against a hard break. Do we have time for some reports? Maybe. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News. I'm Jill Nato. Johns Hopkins says the U.S. saw nearly 42,000 new cases of COVID Friday. Despite that, a few major store chains are following CDC guidance and letting vaccinated shoppers in without masks.
Costco is among the first to do away with mandatory mask wearing for all who've been fully vaccinated. Walmart and Sam's Club are following suit. Karen McHugh, Fox News.
President Biden says the FBI believes Russian President Putin was not involved in the cyber attack that shut down the Colonial Pipeline. But investigators say the hackers are believed to be Russian.
President Biden is expected to meet with President Putin next month in Europe. Biden says he plans on discussing the Colonial Pipeline attack with the Russian president, part of a growing list of objectionable Russian behavior.
Fox's Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Partly sunny skies today, high 75. It'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 49. Sunshine with a few clouds tomorrow. Sunday's high 74. A shower in some spots tomorrow evening, otherwise partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 51. On and off sunshine Monday with a passing afternoon shower, high 73. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 15th and 16th. And a happy new year to all again in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens. Indeed, cause for a happy new year celebration. Sea bass season opens today. It's going to run through June 22nd. The limit is 10 fish. At a 12.5-inch minimum. Now, next week, as you know, the fluke season opens. Very special guest on the Rack and Fin line right now. Try to do it every year when we can get hold of him because he is omnipresent. He's an amoeba. He is all over the place. Tackle shops, I think, from Massachusetts down to Delaware or whatever. It's Stanley Gola, creating disorder on the water, the Ayatollah Fucarola, owner, president, CEO, S&S Bucktails. People, don't handicap yourself. You're on the water. Without S&S Bucktails or S&S Jig Heads, you ain't going to catch as many flukes. Stan, thanks for joining us today, little brother. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you, sir?
I had to get you in there, man. S&S, fluke season already, Stash, and you have the full repertoire. Your I guess, product lineup is packed in. I want to cover three specific products this year. One, Stan, this Raging Rattler Triple X. This thing looks like a freaking monster.
Yes. We had that out for several years, and we did a redesign on it this year. Took the collar off, widened the body a little bit. Let's just put a larger rattle inside of it. Recessed eyes in it, and threw an owner hook on there. The owner swatch hook. It's a little bit of a heavier duty hook.
Uh-huh.
Much sharper actually than the other ones. It should be very should do very well this year. We did test it last year up in Montauk when they had their squid run, and we had great results.
Yeah, I heard about that trip. Stan, listen, the Raging Rattle, Stan, correct me if I'm wrong, available 3/4 ounce, 1 ounce, 1.5 ounce, and again, 2 to 8 ounces. Correct, Mundo?
That is correct.
And I see right there, Stosh, right there, one of the patterns, listeners, squid. Kalamad. Fluke love Kalamad, I think, more than anything. Stan, that's a great pattern you have on there, a great paint job. You have the Screaming Demon, the Electric Chicken. Listeners, here's a lineup. Spearing, Pink Pearl, Mantis Shrimp, Stosh. In the Bays, Mantis Shrimp, Grass Shrimp. You have Pearl, Chartreuse Pearl, Pink Glow, Chartreuse Glow, Orange Glow, Pink Shine, and Glow White. Stanley, did you miss anything?
Yes, actually, you did.
Uh-oh.
Blue Fuse, Fire Tiger, Salmon, and a Calico. Calico's not out on the market yet. It will be out next week, actually.
Now, the Blue Fuse and the Salmon, that's geared to the Gulp, correct?
Yes, geared directly to the Gulp. Blue Fuse was a very, very hot color last year. And I was up in Montauk. Actually, I'm sorry, not Montauk. We fished the North Fork this past Saturday, and Fire Tiger was the color.
Stan, let me tell you something. I hit shops up and down the coast, and that you're right, that Blue Fuse especially, and your Salmon, again, and guys were teaming it up with the Gulp, parallel, you know, corresponding Gulp colors. They couldn't keep them on a pegboard, Stosh. That was crazy.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a big Salmon guy. I mean, I know everybody likes it.
Yeah.
I particularly don't.
I just watched it go crazy, man.
Yeah, the Salmon's very, very, especially up in Long Island. They love that color. Hence John Skinner.
Stosh, the Raging Rattler, triple X, the 3/4, 1, 1.5, and even up to the 2, seems ideal for the bays and the tidal rivers and creeks, correct?
Yes, sir.
How's the testing on that? What area waters in Jersey did you guys, I know you have Captain Brett Taylor, you have Phil A, we'll get into that one too. Nice guy, listen, by the way, you have a fluke fishing maniac, who's also a pretty hardcore trout fisher. I like that dichotomy there, Stosh. But where is the Raging Rattler really, really put to the test, Stosh?
Barnegat Bay and south.
And there you go. The shallower waters, then, from what I understand, I didn't see them that size myself, but they were monster fluke getters.
Yes.
Now, Stan, let's get to the Phil A. We're taking Stanley Gola, Ayatollah Flukerola. He is the owner, president, CEO, SNS Bucktail Lure Company. Stan, the Phil A. It seems, I'm looking at this thing, 3/4, 1 ounce, 1/2 ounce on
3/8.
And you got 3/8 on bait. You better check your site. And Stan, really, again, Chartreuse Glow, Pink Shine, Glow, Fire Tiger, Blue Fuse, and a Calico again. But Stan, unusually large hooks. Why? Was that Phil's design?
Yes, that was Phil's design because we normally fish in the backwater. The 5- and 6-inch Gulp, which a lot of people don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always go to that downside. They want to fish a 3 and a 4. And, you know, if you want to catch those bigger fish, you got to give them a bigger bait. So with that being said, we needed a longer shank hook. So we went ahead with the Gamagatsu because they have such a long shank and it's a little bit of a smaller gap, but that's okay because they swallow it. Perfect. Beautiful. Done.
Now, say it again, geared strictly to the shallows. Now, when I spoke to Phil, he said he's catching fluke in 2 to 3 feet of water. Captain Brett Taylor, same thing. So, Sam, what's, besides the hooks, what is so unique about this fillet? The eyes, the paint job, what's the dealio?
I guess it's a combination of all. The skirt color, coloration, the hook, the eyes, you know. That's really about it.
Well, Sam, a couple of years ago when you had your big eyes, that was a poo. That took the Bay Area by storm, also out front. Eyes really make that much of a difference, Stan?
Yes, I think they do.
Three Ds, glass size, what's the deal?
3Ds. You got to have the 3D. It's a more realistic look to the fish. That's the first thing they key on is the eye. Anybody who knows anything knows that.
Here we're speaking, Stan Gola, president, owner, CEO, Ayatollah Flukerola, SNS Bucktails. Stan, back to, I guess, the new version. Listeners, what started it all? Stan, when was that? Back in 2011 or 12 when the Rattletail was born, you and your dad?
2011.
Now, the S&S Bucktail was born. It's Stan and Stan, Stosh and Stosh, Although the mom, the lovely Lorraine, had something to a significant amount of input on the creation of the Rattletail, I should say. Stan, what is new? And now it's a Rattletail 2.0. What's the deal? What do you got?
All right. So what we did was we changed the body design slightly, widened it a little bit, lengthened it a little bit. We changed out the hook. Problem we were having with that was that the hook wasn't just isn't long enough. So we went with an owner, long shank, black nickel hook, a little bit of a smaller gap. And the nicest feature we put on it is we added a bait saver. So
there
you don't
go.
Lose so much gulp. Because if you don't have that, I mean, you know, our big eye has it. The fillet has it.
Right.
Most of the products we have it. That didn't. So we wanted to put that on there to help the customers. Gulp's expensive. They'll kill you.
Oh,
I mean, I go out and I use 10, 12 bags. I'm broke.
That's Stanley creating disorder on the water. That many bags of gulp. Well, Stan, I've seen you. I've seen you along the rails. I've seen you along the gunnels. You're a fluke catching machine. Now, Stan, one thing that really separates the S&S product line from all others, and there's good bucktails out there, the paint job and the color patterns are second to none. Very painstaking process. Very labor intensive. Is it not?
Yes, it is. That's what I'm doing right now, actually.
And coming up with these colors, Stan, you brainstorm with your workers, you brainstorm with your mom, your wife, other anglers. What's the deal?
Just with the team, you know, whatever they think, you know, try this, try that, you know. And, you know, we do a lot of spin-offs of the golf, too, I mean, because, you know, a lot of people want to match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy. I mean, you know, it's not hard to figure out, you know, what people are looking for if you just take a few minutes and pay attention.
Now, Sam, one of your things that I want to key on, though it's going to be mostly back bay shallow, you know, the next, you know, when the season opens that week or so, a lot of guys will be going out front. One of your specialties, Stan, is you see the guys out there with the 4, 5, 6, 8 ounce bucktails in the deeper water. You don't do that. You have a pattern down where you're using up to, what, 1, 2 ounces with your gulp on there, and you're fishing that deep water, and you're knocking the snot out of the flatties. Go into that technique, please.
Well, basically what it is, it's fishing up current. It's very simple. I mean, you get the fish lighter, you get the cast, you're more involved. You know, not with that just straight up. Listen, I fish straight up and down sometimes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the way you need to fish. But if you can fish the other way, you know, you're more, it's just more fun, you know, and it's easier. It's easier on the arms. You know,
oh yeah,
drinking a 6, 8 ounce bucktail all day. I mean, I don't know. I don't
want to
do that.
I know some guys that have tennis elbow from that, man. Well, Sam, before I let you go, you have that the John Skinner. Everyone knows John Skinner is his. Was that rattling swing or something? That is a dynamite bait, man. Go into that bucktail.
Well, it's basically a spinoff of the Rattletail. Is what it is, just with a swing hook, a little bit of a larger rattle, because you don't have that hook inside to bother you. That's it, really. I mean, it's one of our best selling products, especially out on Long Island. It's a very, very popular item in Long Island and North Jersey.
Now, Stan, rattle, some with, some without. Rattle a tiebreaker, and I know you use your bucktail something like without the rattle. Any particular instances why and why not?
Well, the only time I really don't use the ones with a rattle is the striper ones, because you're really not jigging it. But the rattle makes a difference. You know, people say, oh, it's a rattle, it doesn't matter. No. You're crazy if you think otherwise. Sends a vibration through the water. Listen, even when you shake it and you buy them, you say, well, it really ain't that loud. And, they, you know, and sometimes that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember something. It's multiplied times 10 in the water.
Under, yeah, subsurface, absolutely. And people, everything,
so it's much
louder. Everything in the water makes noise. The scales of the bait fish, the shrimp, the crabs clicking, clacking, everything is there, and people key on that. Now, I remember, Stan, when you first came out with the Rattletail, again, to say, oh, that's BS, it's this, it's that. You proved it, Stan. You did the hard knocks in. The first couple of years were tough. It took off, and now you're at the top of the game.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom.
Plans,
I really do.
I know plans are already in line for 2022. I know your guys are already out there testing products. Keeping with the fluke and stripers, that's your deal?
Yeah. Oh, no, we got an offshore lure this year.
I knew that.
So we're going to see how that does work.
Uh-huh. Okay, Zach, so we'll say, listeners, opening a fluke next week, get your deal. See those S&S bucktails. the fillet, the John Skinner rattle and swing, the Rattletail 2-0, and the Raging Rattler Triple X. Stosh, best to you and everyone. Hope to see you on the water, brother.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the time.
And by the way, how is Mom Lorraine?
Mom is doing well, very well.
Mom Lorraine kicks ass. Wonderful lady. Stan, you take care. Best to everybody.
Thanks, Tom. You as well.
Let's see it. Yeah, S&S Bucktails, man. Stan, I know. I said, Stan, got to get you on. It's our annual. I said, dude, I'm painting. I'm pouring lead. We're painting. We got everything going. Stan, come on. Listeners, try this. I like the John Skinner swinging bucktail with this 2.0. Just going back to the bases, the 2.0 Rattletail. Bingo. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
You asked for it. You got it. Fast Track Checkout at either Matt Black Kia location. Buy it your way. Complete your purchase online or have us deliver it. Purchase any new or pre-owned vehicle from Matt Black Kia in Egg Harbor Township or Tom's River with zero money down and 0% APR financing for 60 months on every 2021 Kia Soul, Sportage, or Forte. Plus, we need your trade, even if you owe thousands more than it's worth. So get out of that old car you hate. With zero down payment and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months, try Fast Track Checkout. Purchase completely online and have us deliver right to your home or office. Only at Matt Black Kia, where you can't make a mistake with our 4-day love it or leave it return policy.
It's gotta be a Matt Black Kia.
Offers with approved tier 1 or 2 credit through Kia Motors Finance. Not all will qualify. 0% based on 1667 per 1,000 borrowed. Negative equity financed into new loan. Go to mattblackkianj.com for complete details. Expires 5/31/2021.
Matt Black Kia, 6211 Black Horse Pike, Egg Harbor Township.
And now on Route 37 in Tom's River.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all? Your kid's Halloween candy. And it's July. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet cake or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitutes.
Do you have
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let's get down to the basics with Mike Cunningham, Seattle bait and tackle there in Fish Alley in Seattle. Mike, what's happening, brother?
Good morning, Tom. How's everything?
Oh, cranking it up. What's going on, man? What's going on?
I got to say, the most exciting thing in this neighborhood has been some of those big bass coming off of the beach. Between Seattle Avalon, must have seen a dozen fish over 40 inches. So some real nice fish being caught. All getting released safely back. But that's been the hottest story in this area.
Now, clam, bunker chunks, what? Plugs, what?
Clams are producing the most fish. But we've seen them on mullet, bunker, and bloodworms.
Bloods, whoa.
There has been some on lures, especially the guys at night who are plugging hard. They're out there if you want to get them on a lure. But the guys sitting there with the clams are putting up the most fish.
Now, Mike, SP minnow plugs, things like that, Yuzuri crystal minnows, things like that?
SP minnows have been good. We've been selling some of those Yuzuri hydro minnows.
Hydro!
A 4 to a 6 inch, diving crankbait isn't the way to go.
Color make a difference?
Depends on the time of day. We've been selling a lot of like blacks, blurples, things like that for the guys fishing overnight, and a lot of natural bunkers, of natural, almost dullish colors seem to be working during the day.
Okay, Mike, what about the magical word weak fish? What's happening?
Still picking them up. Same report as last week. Guys are getting some real nice fish. Haven't seen any slammers yet. Consistently catching some nice fish, pushing 20 inches. Soft plastics are the thing. We saw a little bit of an uptick in all white paddle tails this week as opposed to some of your pinks or your electric chickens. That just could be a moon phase or something, but definitely had an increase of reports on a straight white. That's this week's color.
Okay, last word, Mike, bluefish, what do you got?
Not a lot.
No.
a couple of them, but you got to get north of Brigantine, from what I'm seeing, to get any numbers or size of the bluefish.
Okay, Mike, any word on drum? In the back, maybe a little an errant one here and there?
Couple on the surf, but the over in the bay is where they're getting.
The bay is where they are. Okay, man, we'll talk to you, Mike. Be good.
See you later.
Drop down Cape May Way with Nick and Hans, two bait and tackle. That is the hot spot in that Peninsula County, man, we're hearing. So talk to us. Nicky, what's happening?
They're killing the drum out there. We've got multiple catches going on out there. Also, they're picking up striped bass.
Oh.
Guys in the boats drumming punk rounds and in tight to the beach right around the Coxhall Creek.
I know just where that is. All right. Any size of these drum?
40 to 60 pound. We hope to see some bigger ones. We got a couple more tournaments this weekend, so everyone's hoping for that 70 and 80 pound class.
Now, you guys have clams in, correct?
Yes, sir. Clams in the shell.
Thank God. Now, you said bass are mixed in?
Yeah, guys are fishing tighter to the beach. I expect to see some of them starting to move out to the deeper water now. We're starting to warm up here.
Right, still on the clams out, Nicky?
Clams and also on the bunker, fresh bunker.
Fresh bunker, yeah, and you have that in stock. You got the Magic Menhaden, I hear.
Yes, sir.
Now, the weak fish, talk to me, man.
Guys in the piles are throwing some plastics or picking them up. It's going to be like 2 to 4 pound ranges.
Oh.
It seems to be the way what they're getting. Soft plastic seems to be the way to be.
Now, what do you, bass is that?
Guys in the back bays were going for weakies. They end up catching all big flounders.
Oh, that's not till next week. Listen, on the plastics, are Bass Assassin Zooms what?
Yeah, South Jersey Bass Assassin.
And there you go. Okay,
and, Pink Zooms.
And the Pinks. Okay, man, take care. I'll talk to you next week. Hey, yeah, well, you're going to get out a chance to fish?
Yeah, my nephew just got a nice striped bass off the beach last night.
Damn, man, these guys are fish machines. See you next week, Nicky. Take care, bro.
Thanks, man.
Going to wrap it up with Papa Bear, Big John Grimco. Fanatics on West Avenue in Ocean City. This guy's the coolest grandpa. The coolest grandpa. How you doing, Grampy? What's happening, brother?
Not much, Paggy. Not much. Everything's going good.
Good, good.
I don't know if you know, I got a new grandson in February.
And that's what I'm saying, man. You are just, you're on the top of the world, Johnny G. Tell me about the fishing Corson's, Great A. Gillen in the back. What's happening?
All right. North end of Strathmere. Big bass on the beachfront.
Oh!
I mean, bass, I'm hearing up to 40 inches.
Whoa!
All on bait. The beachfront's bait. You still got the schoolies and Corson's Inlet on the backside on plastic baits and jig heads. So you got a lot of action, more than you want.
Johnny, what are the hot plastics for the schoolies?
Paddle tail shads, again, Bass Assassins, the usual. Nothing's really changed. Nothing bright and new. Unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. John, after dark, weak fish around, brother?
You got to search behind Sea Isle and down towards Avalon, but they're okay. Many of the guys are very closed-mouthed on that, but they're around.
Sure. Now, John, before I let you go, what about some royals in the suds? I'm hearing there's some kingfish down your way, man.
Yeah, there's been some kings caught. I'm also hearing a few black drum on a beach. I heard of a 28-incher taken at the north end of down at Strathmere.
Oh.
I heard one or two on Ocean City beaches.
Nice, nice,
so if you
nice.
Sit home and worry about this COVID, you're not going to catch anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll catch, man.
That's true. Johnny, we'll see you on the water, brother. Be good. Good to talk to you again.
All right, Pags. Take care.
That'll wrap it up for this week. I'm Rack and Finn, Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. Happy New Year. Sea Bass is open. Happy New Year next week, the Fluke Opener. S&S Bucktails rule, man. I buy them, I use them, and they kick fluke. Here's another thing, too. I just like the jig head. Stanley's jig head playing with those pretty big googly eyes with some gulp on there or a little 4 or 5 inch. Check it out. Black plug bait. Black. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, man. Hey, God bless America. God bless the troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. Too excited, man. Get out there and enjoy. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM.